any further. It's a Memorial Day weekend. But I tell you what I want us to do right now. If you are currently or you have been previously in the military, would you stand up today just to let us recognize some of you folks? Go ahead and stand up if you would. Amen. All right. Let's give these folks a hand if you would. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. You can be seated. Thank you. Thank you for your service, all of you. And I know there's some of you that have some family members that have served, and this is truly going to be like a Memorial Day for that because of the fact they're no longer with us. And I know there are those that we talk about that. Lynn was showing me something the other day, a little placard type thing that told you how to distinguish between the three things there are. There's Veterans Day, and that's when you honor those that are currently serving, and then or that have served. There's Armed Forces Day, where you serve those that are or honor those that are serving, and then Memorial Day, where you honor those that have given that ultimate sacrifice. Where I heard them saying that there was a group of Boy Scouts that went out through like our National Cemetery and put the little flags on every one of those graves out through there, just to be an honor and a blessing to those that you know, through many of them did not make it on through the wartime. They were killed in action, and we certainly do praise God for that today. Amen. Well, let's take our Bibles, if you would. Look with me in the book of the Psalms. Look in the Psalm. Look in the longest Psalm, Psalm 119. And I don't know if your Bible does it. I mean, it, many of them do. You'll see each section. I was reading something when I was studying on some of this, and they said you'll find some funny little words there above groupings of eight verses at a time. And it starts off with Aleph and goes to Beth. And as I say, I don't know if your Bible does it, Gimeth, Daleth, Hay, and Vow, all of those little phrases, and you're looking at them thinking, what does that mean? Those are the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Each one of those
little characters is. And I know some of the Bibles that I have that actual character written out as the Hebrew character that it is. Now I want you to flip on over, if you will, to verse number 81. Verse number 81. And it's under the heading of a letter called Kaph. Kaph. C-A-P-H. Or some of them may have it K-A-P-H. But that is the 11th letter. And if you look at that, there's verses 81 through 88 is what we'll read today. So if you will, look there and notice what it says. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so I shall keep the testimony of thy mouth. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this morning. Thank you again for loving us here today and bringing us to this place and time. Now, I pray now you just add the blessings of God to your word, and I pray you'd help it to go out as it is bread cast upon the water, that it would feed the hungry, that it would draw those that need you today. Would you just place it in somebody's heart this morning to hear the Word of God in the gospel of Christ, and for them to find that they can trust Jesus as their salvation. I'm so glad the Bible said that there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby you must be saved. And I'm glad it's at the name of Jesus that we do come into your presence and that you do offer salvation. Would you just bless us today with that? Then, Lord, maybe there's some just need to drop closer, be more like you, be more shaped and fashioned in your image. Would you please just speak to every one of our hearts now? Show us what we need in Christ today, and we'll simply thank you and pray for all that you do for us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As I said, you're looking at that letter there, and as I say, I don't know if your Bible shows it or not, but it is the letter cap, C-A-P-H. And in our language, it roughly resembles either a C or a K-H type sound. That's what it would be if you're listening to it. And I don't know if you've ever listened to Arabic people or people in the Middle East do a whole lot of talking. It sounds like they're clearing their throats a lot of times, right? Whenever they talk, you hear a lot of ha, a lot of guttural sounds that come from the back of the throat. Well, this is one of those words, and that's what it uses. That's what it sounds like when you say ha. You're using that sound, but that doesn't mean anything. But if you look at it now, the letter itself is, to me, it looks like a backward C. If you look at that, and actually the idea of that letter is that it is like this. It is like a man takes his hand and makes that letter, which looks like to me and you, like a backward C. If you're looking at it from your hand, take your right hand and cup it, you will see that it looks like the letter, which is a backward C. Or for me and you, you know, it looks like this. But as you're thinking about that, there are some things that letter actually means in the Hebrew. And it means this. For many times, it's as if it was like this, which is a way of saying, Lord, I'm ready to receive something that you've got. I'm ready. It's stretched forth in the idea of receiving something that the Lord wants to give. And sometimes it's like this. It's turned in this fashion or this fashion, and it's used as an offering of prayer and praise unto the one that has given. Amen? And then sometimes we think of it in this fashion, which means you and I need to find ourselves in a place of submission unto the Lord who does provide everything for us. That there's nothing that you and I can do in or of ourselves. Everything that we get, everything that we have, it is from Him. And I'm telling you, when you look at that, man, we have received and we are praising and we are humbling and submitting ourselves before God. That's the things that God is looking for out of our lives. And I think that's what you'll see as we look at this psalm that the psalmist is writing here. David gives us this information, and David gives us this idea of you know, there's some things that we need, but the way to get there is to submit yourselves unto God. So I want you to look at a verse in this, though. If you'll notice in verse number 83, the psalmist says this, "For I am become like a bottle in the smoke." I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Now, I want to preach to you this morning about being a bottle in the smoke. Amen? You say, what in the world does that mean? Well, if you'll remember now, most of the time in the ancient world, the bottles that they had were not bottles like you and I have made out of glass or plastic, but they were actually made out of animal skin. And the idea that's portrayed here by being a bottle in the smoke is if you were in a place where there was a lot of smoke, and in many times in these Jewish lands and in these people's houses, they built a fire there, and they didn't have a chimney. They didn't have a place for the smoke to escape, so they lived in there with the smoke. But if they had something like this wine bottle, if they had this animal skin bottle, and it was hanging near it, you know what had happened to it? If it got in the smoke, well, it'd get black. It'd get sooty. It would get hardened, and it would get dried out. That's what is like being like a bottle in the smoke. And that's exactly what David is saying here. I'm in a place that I really don't care to be in. I'm in a place that almost seems like I'm that bottle that's got stuck in a place, and the smoke has filled the room. And now, look at my life. And God, I'm submitting myself to you. I'm stretching my hands out to you because I need something that only you can give to me. Amen? I mean, that's where David's coming from. So let's look at it, if you will, and get the ideas, probably some of the ideas that I feel like he's trying to get across to us. First of all, I want you to look at David talking about the predicament that he felt. Look at him talking about the predicament that he felt. First of all, look at this. Look in verse number 81. And he said, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation." David says, I'm in a terrible place where I feel faint. You ever got to a place where the pressures and the things of life were so much on top of you that you felt like you were, well, literally in a place where you were smothering, where you were so pressed, you were so burdened, you were so laden by so many things that you felt like you were just about to pass up. You're just about to go on. Well, that's what David says, first of all, that he felt like here. He said, I feel like I'm under this pressure. I feel like it's a smothery type place. I feel like I feel faint. I feel faint. Then look in verse number 82. He said, mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? Not only has he said, I feel like I'm faint. He said, I feel like there's some failing in my eyesight that's even going on. He said, I feel like that I'm just about able to pass out, but not only that, I'm losing my vision. I can't see. I mean, it's getting dark and it's getting thick. You think about that bottle in the smoke again. And brother, you get in a smoky situation, you can't see anything, right? Isn't that a horrible place to be sometimes? Isn't that a terrible thing? I often think about these men that give their lives in firefighting and battling those kind of things. And man, you're walking into that blaze, and you know what? A lot of times those guys are going in blind because you can't see anything in the smoke. You got to walk right in before all of that, and there you are, right in the midst of all of that smoke, all of that, and you just can't see a thing. The vision's gone. And David said, I'm failing in my vision. My eyes are going from it. I feel like I'm about to faint. I feel like I've lost my vision. I feel like I can't see anymore. And then he says in verse number 84, he says, yet, or how many are the days of thy servant? When will thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? He feels like now maybe he's even forsaken. God, where are you? It's like I'm here in the midst of this smoky place, and I can't see, and I'm about to pass out, and I feel like everybody has forgotten me, and especially you, oh Lord. I feel like I'm alone, and I'm by myself, and I don't know what to do. Amen. You ever been there before? You ever been in some of those times of your life where you just felt like, hey, I'm in this predicament. Here I am. As I say, you almost feel like spiritually you're smothering. Spiritually you're shriveling up. Spiritually your strength is getting drained. I mean, you just don't have anything and you don't know what to do. And that's where David is. He finds himself. And you know how he finds himself also kind of like me and you. I think David has lost some of his patience. Amen. If you listen to this psalm as it progresses and you go through it, it sounds like he is saying, God, where are you? I need you, and hurry up. You hear him where he says, help thou me. Hey, God, I need some help, and I need it right now. Hey, can I tell you, a lot of times if you and I are not careful, we will lose our patience in the middle of everything that's going on about us. We'll lose our patience. And I guarantee you, hey, you in this room are no different than me. I do that many times. I'm trying to help God. I'm trying to rush Him. I'm trying to push Him. But can I tell you, hey, my Bible tells me to wait upon the Lord. And they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And they shall mount up like eagles. And they're going to soar in some place. But I'm telling you, a lot of times we lose our patience and we can't simply wait on God. You know what the psalmist also tells us in another writing? He says, be still and know that I am the Lord. Amen? You have trouble being still today? You have trouble sitting and being patient and waiting on God to do something? I believe every one of us in here, we're like that. David had trouble being patient. And David had trouble, as I said earlier, feeling the pressure of the situation that he's in. And he feels like that he's in a poor situation. I mean, I just don't know what to do, God. I'm in this situation, and it's all getting bad to worse. And it seems like it's only going to get. I don't know what to do. Amen? We've been there many times, haven't we? A lot of us have been there. We've been in these predicaments in our life. But aren't you glad of this? Let's look at something a little bit more. There's, I guess, more of the negative of it. But I want you to notice David begins to go through the process of how to get through with what's going on in his life. First of all, notice this. In verse number 81, he said, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation." He said, "But I hope in thy word." Can I tell you today, there's still hope in the Lord. Amen? Hey, no matter what comes, no matter who stands against you, no matter what craziness is going on in the world, you and I that are safe, we can still hope in the Lord. Amen? And that's what the psalmist said. I've got this going on. I don't know what else to do. But I tell you what I'm going to hope in the Word of God. I'm going to get my Bible down. I'm going to grab a hold of it. I'm going to hug it up tight. I'm going to kiss it. I'm going to put my faith and my trust in the one that wrote it. I'm going to put my hope in the Word of God. Amen? Amen? Let me just tell you something, friend. You know, people will say, "Well, preacher, I've read this Bible, but I don't understand it all." Let me just tell you, right here's another one right here that don't understand it all either. I haven't got this entire word figured out, but can I tell you? Hey, I love it. Amen? Don't you? I love the Word of God. I'm telling you, you and I, me and Sister Lynn kind of played around with it a little bit over at the house. That old song that Brother Berman Kate used to sing. I love the old Bible, the old King James Bible. It's a light on my pathway to see. It keeps me so happy, always so happy. It's God's wonderful book divine. Amen. You and I need the precious Word of God. You ought to get that thing. The psalmist said in earlier part of this 119, he said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." You and I can only put our hope and our trust in the Word of God. Amen. I mean, that's the only thing you got. You don't have anything. You can try it yourself. You can build up your muscles. You can strengthen yourself. You can eat the right diet. You can run a race every day. You can do all that stuff. And you know what? You'll still fail sometimes. Your health can fail. Your finances can fail. This world and all those that you think are for you can fail. But are you? I'm here to tell you, David said, "I'm hoping in my trust." Not wishing and thinking maybe so and all that. But he said, "I'm putting my trust in your word." And that's what all of us ought to do, right? He said, "I'm hoping in the Word of God." Look in verse number 83. He said, "For I'm become like a bottle in the smoke." But look what he says beyond that. "Yet do I not forget thy statutes." He said, not only am I hoping in the Word, I'm holding to it as what I need to get through it. I'm holding to that. God, I'm going to hold you to your Word. You know what the Bible says? Jesus said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Amen? You believe that? I do. I believe that He'll never leave. I believe that He saved me by His grace divine and that I can know that my name is written in heaven. Amen? I believe it. Yeah. Hey, there's some folks that say, "Well, preacher, you just won't know till you get there." Well, son, I'd hate to have what you got. Amen. Somebody said, "If I had what you had, I'd trade it in for a mule and I'd shoot the mule." Amen? Hey, I'm telling you, I've got something that you can know for an absolute fact that you're saved and your name's in heaven. Amen. Aren't you glad that? Hey, that's what David said. David said, "I feel like I'm a bottle in a smoky room. I feel like all of this is coming against me. I feel like I'm trapped in. I feel like I'm smothered. I feel like I'm strengthless. I feel like I'm just not able to make it." He said, "But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hold on to the Word of God. I'm going to grab a hold of that." Hey, listen. The Bible talks about Jesus and His Word being an anchor for our soul. Amen. It's an anchor for my soul and it's an anchor for your soul. You don't have anything else to hold you down. I'm telling you, the old songwriters, you know, talk about that old song that we used to sing, "All other ground is shifting sand." I'm telling you, Jesus talked about the man that built his house on the sand and the winds came and the rains fell and the storms come by and it knocked down his house and great was the fall of it. Can I tell you, I don't know what you're building on today. There's a lot of folks building on religion. Religion will not stand the test of time. Salvation will. Amen? Salvation. Because, listen, Jesus told that story. He said, there were two men. They built the same thing, but the storms came to both of them. and the one that built on the shifting foundation, the one that tried to do it by his strength and by his wisdom, by his wit and by his way, hey, it all fell down around him. He said, but there was a man that built his house upon a rock. Amen. He said that man built the same house. The same storms came, the same winds blew, the same problems came by, and his house withstood. Why? Because he was on a solid foundation. What is that? Well, Paul said there's no other foundation that I can lay other than that that's already been laid, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. You've got to build your hope, your confidence, your eternity. You've got to build it on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Now, you can try it on anything else you want to. Oh, preacher, I joined this and that and the other club and bunch and church. And you can do all that you want to. We can get you up here and baptize you about 11 dozen times. If somebody said, it'll get you out in the creek till every tadpole in the county knows your name, it won't make any difference. You've got to accept what God says in His Word. And that's why the Word of God is so important. David said, yet do I not forget thy statute. I'm holding to what I've heard from Him. Amen? I'm holding on to what I heard from Him. I mean, listen, he says, I'm hoping. My hope is in the Word of God. I'm holding on to these promises and these blessings by the Word of God. But he said, I want you to know this. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. Look what he says there in verse number 86. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. You know who he's talking to? He ain't talking to the local Baptist Association. He ain't talking to any other church group or denomination. He's talking to God Himself. As I said earlier, the Scripture said that my help cometh from the Lord. That's the only place you've got any help today. People can try to help you, and people want to help you sometimes, and I'm sure people in churches and groups and all that want to help, but I'm telling you, the only help you really got is when you find the Lord Himself. He is a help in your time of need. Amen? He is. So, help's on the way. And David says, the only thing I don't know is when it's going to get here. He said, look, how many are the days of thy servant? And verse number 84. Wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute? He said, I'm looking for help, but I just don't know when it's going to get here. And then he said, look, all thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully, but help thou me. I don't know when my help's coming, but thank God I'm trusting that it is coming. Amen? I'm trusting. Peter's walking out there on the water. You remember? Jesus tells him to step over the side of the boat. He said, Lord, if that's you, Jesus is walking on the water toward them, and they're all scared. And Jesus said, you know, be not afraid, it is I. And as he's walking on the water, Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come to you. And you know what Jesus said? Come. He just said one word to him, come. You know what Peter did? He stepped out over the bow of that ship by faith, and he started walking on the water. But then all of a sudden, Peter got to looking around at the storm. He got to looking around at the skies. He got to feeling the wind blow and the waves dash. And all of a sudden, he began to sink. You know what he said? Lord, help me. Boy, that's a great prayer, isn't it? That's pretty short, sweet, and to the point. And you know what the Lord did? He reached down, took him by the hand, picked him back up, and walked him on over to the boat. Amen. What are you saying? I'm saying the Lord can help you. And sometimes it needs to come immediately. And sometimes we don't know when it will come. We're not sure. There's a lot of you this morning that have asked for help. Maybe you've asked for help this morning with your health or with your finances or with your husband or with your wife or with your kids or with situations, whatever they are. You've asked for it and you just don't know when. But I want to tell you something. Like they always say, it's at the end of the rope, just tie a knot in it and hang on. Because I'm telling you, help is on the way. Amen. Amen? Jesus is on His way to bring you some help this morning. So that's the process that David finds himself going through. But then I want you to notice the promises that he ultimately clings to. You know, as I say, sometimes you just got to tie a knot in the end of the rope and hang on. God's made some promises to every one of us here this morning. Aren't you glad that He's made the promises? I've made promises before, and guess what? Sometimes I fail. Sometimes I'm unable. Sometimes I meant to do it, but I didn't get to do it. Sometimes my promises fail. But I'm here to tell you, He's never made a promise that He won't see through. Amen? I mean, He's never said something that did not come to completion. Notice this in the promises that David clings to. First of all, again, look there in verse number 86. He said, all thy commandments are faithful. All thy commandments are faithful. You know what God's fail-safe is? It's His Word. His Word is faithful. He is faithful to His Word. Amen? The Bible talks about God and His immutability. You know, everybody says, well, preacher, you get to throwing out them, you know, $10 words. We don't know what none of that means. Let me tell you what immutability means. God don't ever lie. God don't ever lie. God don't ever change His mind. God never backs up on a promise that He makes. You can trust His Word. That is our failsafe, is when you trust in His Word. David said, I've been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Aren't you glad, me and you, can claim that promise? I mean, hey, you say, well, preacher, things have got lean, times have got tough, things are short and this and that and the other. Can I tell you, God still holds up His promises. Amen? If you need any assurance of that, Jesus said it like this. He says that God is looking at the birds of the air. He takes care of them. Do you know that your Heavenly Father feeds every little bird that you see out there? Can you imagine that? And I've told you this before many times probably, but the statistics were that if countries, if major nations in this world had to feed the birds of the air for one day, it would bankrupt 5 major countries. We'd go out of business in the United States. We had to try to feed the birds one day. Guess what? God does it every day and He ain't broke a sweat yet. Amen. Why? Because His Word is faithful. Amen. He said He remembers every one of those. And you know what He said beyond that? He said He remembers those little birds. The Bible said that He sees a sparrow when it falls from the tree. Some old preacher said it this way. He said God attends the funeral of every little bird that falls to the ground. God is there to attend His funeral. Amen? You know what that means? Jesus said, ye are of more worth than many sparrows. Oh, God loves you so much that He will be faithful to His Word. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. Your mercies are new every morning. When you got up this morning, God had new mercies just for you today. God had grace that was plenteous and full and free for every one of us today. When we came to this place, God had plenty to give. He is faithful in what He said. Amen. He's faithful according to His Word. But not only do we see that He said, that God's fail-safe is His Word, and God's faithfulness is found there. Look what He says in verse number 87. They had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. God's faithful, and God won't forsake you. He will not leave you in the lurch. Oh, you got friends, and I got friends. You got family, I got family. They'll leave you sometimes. They'll say, good luck, you handle it. You take care. I can't get into that. I can't deal with that. I can't do that. But can I tell you, the Lord will be there with you all the way. Amen. He's there all the time. He's with you. You know what Paul said? Paul talked about being in prison, and he was writing to Timothy. He said, at my first answer, when I had to go in and stand before Augustus Caesar, when I had to go in and stand before him, he said, no man stood by me. He said, but nevertheless, the Lord stood by me. Amen? He will not forsake you wherever you get. They were three little old Hebrew boys that wouldn't bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's idol. And he said, throw them in the fire, boy. Throw them in the fire. I'm going to show people what I mean and how I rule and how I run this country. I'm going to show you. And they said, King, do whatever you want to. We ain't bending. We ain't bowing. And we don't care. Amen. And he said, throw them in. They threw them into the fiery furnace. And he had him a little way to look inside there. He said, boys, pull back that door and let's see how that went for them. And they pulled back the door. He looked in. He looked at somebody and said, did we throw three guys? They said, yeah, King, three guys. He said, well, why do I see four in there? And the fourth is like the Son of God. You know why? Because he didn't forsake them. He was there with them. Amen. And when they took them out of that fiery furnace, when they took them out, the Bible says that there was not the smell of smoke anywhere on them. There was not a hair on their head or their eyes or anywhere on their entire... Their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. How could that happen? Because the Lord said, I'll never forsake you. Amen? Go a little bit further in that book of Daniel. You'll see where Daniel gets thrown into the lion's den. Because he prays. And the king had signed a decree and really got tricked into it. You can go back and read that. But anyway, while they're there, hey, Daniel gets thrown in the lion's den. He's got to stay there according to the decree. He's got to stay there all night long. And you can imagine being in a den of lions that are probably hungry and a whole lot bigger than you are and a whole lot more powerful than you. And old Daniel's laying there during that night, and the king's tossing and turning and can't sleep. He's worried. He gets up when the decree was until daylight. He gets up at daylight. He runs down there to that cave. He pulls back the rock off of it and said, oh, Daniel, Daniel. He said, does the God that you serve, was he able to deliver you? And he heard a voice from the inside said, oh, king, live forever. Woo! How about that, y'all? He said, God sent some angels down here. They put them lions in a headlock. I laid down on them fellas. And I slept good all night long. How about you, King? How'd you do? Amen? Hey, I'm telling you, he'll never forsake you. Amen? Paul's out on a ship, out on the ocean in the middle of a storm for 2 weeks. And they said they'd neither seen star nor sun. I mean, they didn't know if it was day or night. They were in trouble in Acts 27. And as the storm went off, the Bible said, while the men were all frightful and fearful and afraid they was all going to die, that Paul stole away during the night. He was gone for a while. He'd come back and he told those fellas, he said, fellas, let's get something to eat. Boy, that sounds like a Baptist preacher, don't it? Amen. Pass the fried chicken. Amen. One of my buddies this morning, I sent a message and just encouraging him. He sent me a message back. He said, preach hard, preach strong, and then eat some fried chicken. Woo! Hallelujah. That's like a pretty good idea. Anyway, Paul said he's been stolen away. He shows back up. He tells them, get ready to eat something. He said, and they look at him like, well, you're crazy. We're all going to die. And Paul said, I want you to know something, boys. He said, I've been praying. He said, and while I was praying, an angel of the Lord, you know what he said then? Whose I am, I belong to him. And whom I serve, he said, he stood by me this night, and he told me that not a harm come to anybody in the entirety of this boat, as long as if you'd stay with the ship. Amen? And he said, wherefore, sirs, I believe God. Amen? He said, cheer up and let's eat. Amen? And they did. And you know what happened? They lost their ship, but every one of those men made it safely to shore. And God took care of them, even through some tempest and trials and winds and all that terrible storm that they were. Aren't you glad of that? He'll never forsake you. He won't leave you alone. He'll go with you all the way. Hey, there's some in the Bible, he went beyond that. His dear friend Lazarus had died. He went out, and you know, Martha and Mary. Martha comes to him and says, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother had not died. And Mary came to him a little while later. She said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Jesus told Martha and said, your brother's going to live again. And she said, I know that he'll live again in the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Amen. That's right. Amen. I am. Woo, that's a pretty good statement, isn't it? But Jesus went out to the grave. He said, show me where you've laid. They took him out to the graveyard, and he said, roll back the stone. Some of those men had to get over and roll the stone back. And then he just simply cried, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible said he came out of that grave, hopping out of that grave, in those grave clothes. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. That's in John chapter number 11. John chapter number 12, in the very first few verses, you know what you see? You see Lazarus sitting at the table eating with Jesus. Why? Because he didn't forsake him. That was his friend. He went with him. He went with him even through that time. Jesus, that's what I'm telling you. David said, look, I know. I've read your word. I understand your word. And I hear, he said, and everything around here, that almost, those things and those people of this time had almost consumed me upon the earth. But I forsook not thy precepts. I hung on to the word of God. I grabbed a hold of it, and I understood you wouldn't forsake me. You wouldn't forsake me. So, last of all, look at this. You find that he had God's failsafe in his faithfulness of his word. And that God wouldn't forsake him according to his word. But then notice that he finds and asks for in verse number 88. He says, quicken me after thy loving kindness, so I shall keep the testimony of thy mouth. He said, God, let me be sure that I have found your favor. We need the favor of God. You see what he says, quicken me according to thy loving kindness. And loving kindness speaks about God's mercy, His pity, and His goodness on us. And can I tell you today, we was looking at a song here a little earlier. God's been good to me. God's been good to you. Amen? We sang that song as we come up here to get ready to sing, or before we come on to sing, I am blessed. Every day that I live, I'm blessed. When I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Do you realize that this morning? That you and I live in a day when we can experience the greatest favor of God that there is. You can experience God's favor today. David said, quicken me after thy loving kindness. God, because of your mercy and your goodness and because of who you are, would you quicken me? And that word quicken means make me alive again. Just enliven me. Boy, I'm telling you, there's a lot of folks that need that today. The only true life you'll ever have and you'll ever get comes through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the only way you're going to make it. You may feel like, hey, you're in that fire. You're going to have to humble down. But eventually, you know what you'll do? You may stretch them hands out and say, God, I need to receive something. But aren't you glad you can turn them things up like that and say, all I want to do now is just praise you for what you've done. Praise you for what you've done, God. Are you able to do that this morning? Brother Ronnie, come on. We're going to get ready to sing a song. God's goodness.